Speak to our heart, oh Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today, for this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. God, we pray now that the life-changing, life-giving word of God will find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that we would leave here today reminded, encouraged, inspired, equipped to be not just hearers of your word, but doers of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask all of these blessings. Amen. So Jonathan Edwards, one of my classmates in seminary, tells the story of the track and field championships that he participated in his senior year in high school. Jonathan was a track and field runner. His main event was the 400 meter run. Arguably the toughest race in track and field, because the 400 meters is not classified as a run like the 800 meters, it's classified as a sprint. So for one time around the track, you are to, in essence, give it your all from start to finish. Jonathan wasn't necessarily the favorite to win. He wasn't the favorite to lose. He was just a high school runner who was blessed to have made it to the state championship finals. Gets in the starting block in his lane, gun fires, he takes off along with everybody else, and starts off really fast. As a matter of fact, Jonathan suggested he started off a little too fast. He was excited about running and began to experience a kind of hyperventilation, needing his second wind to kick in much sooner than he anticipated. He gets around the first turn and starts heading into the second turn. And when he gets into the second turn, he feels like he's in trouble, because now he's not moving like he wanted to move. What made it worse was that his competitors seemed to be moving with ease. And now he was losing ground as he came into that second turn. As he came into the halfway point of the race, he felt like he was in trouble, because the runners who started off at the same place he was now had lengthened their lead. He seemed to be falling behind. He was a little tired. His body wasn't responding like he thought it would. His head was wobbling. His arms were kind of flailing out without him even knowing it. He became tense as he was moving through the race and felt like he was in trouble. Somebody in here can identify with being in that place. You're running the race, not the race around the track, but the race called life. And as you are running that race called life, there comes a point, there comes a time when you might feel like you're in trouble. As a matter of fact, if you have never felt that way and you're not feeling that way now, I'm going to tell you like the old folks say. Actually, I can't say like the old folks say. I need to just tell you like I say now. Keep on living. Because if you live long enough, you will come to a place, a point in life, when you feel like giving up, when you feel like you've given the best you can and there's nothing else for you to do. If you've ever been to that place where you feel like throwing in the towel, even this week in the midst of the storm and the rain, I told my wife, I said, you won't believe how anxious I have been, how stressed I have been. And she said, well, I wish you had told me, because we could have been stressed together. I thought it was just me. I was like, no, it wasn't just you. We were both stressed. We were maybe for not necessarily the same thing, but in the same situation. For somebody today, I want to give you a word of encouragement. For somebody today who may be watching, you can't watch on your television because you don't have power, but you're watching on your phone. I've got a word for you today. I want to talk today from the thought, how to go on when you feel like giving up. how to go on when you feel like giving up. Every one of us will get to a place, a point in life when you just feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like you have gone as far as you can. What do you do when you feel tempted to give up? Our text today is Hebrews chapter 12. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, wherever you're watching from, you can download the outline by simply going to our app, Good Hope app, or going to our website, goodhope.org. Four things I want you to see today in our text that I hope and pray will give you some encouragement and some instruction on how to go on when you feel like giving up. Now, the scene before us is the scene reminiscent of a race in a great coliseum. The great coliseums of the day would be filled with thousands of fans who would be there to watch various events. And they would be there in the stands cheering on the runners and the participants in the field events to do the best that they could. But in those long races, even highly trained athletes have to discipline their bodies, listen carefully, to push through the point when the body naturally wants to give up. We've got some marathon runners who are part of our church. I live vicariously through them. The closest I have gotten to running a marathon was my desire to run one. But here's what I've learned from marathon runners. They say that normally the first 10 to 12, 13 miles is pretty easy. I mean, you can get through that pretty good. But there comes a point in the race, no matter how much you have trained, when your body wants to stop and you have to press through that place to keep on going. Somebody in here, even though your faith in the Lord is secure in terms of salvation, you might come to a place every now and then where you have to push through the desire to quit in order to keep going in the way God wants you to go. And so today we want to look at this declaration in Hebrews chapter 12. And encourage you how to go on when you feel like giving up. Here's the first thing. Number one, if you're going to go on when you feel like giving up, remember those who have set a positive example for you. You need to remember those who have set a positive example for you. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, the A part. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. That word witness or witnesses, it comes from the word martus, where we get the word martyr from. This is not somebody who is speaking from hearsay. This is not somebody who is giving third party information. This is somebody who has experienced life and living to the point that now they can testify for themselves as to what you are going through. It's a conversation that you can have with somebody who says, I know exactly what you're going through because I have been where you are. Now, the therefore in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12, is there for a good reason. The therefore is there to connect Hebrews chapter 12 to Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we have not the hall of fame, but we have the hall of faith. We have those who were identified as people who believed and trusted God when the odds were against them. You go through that list, if you would, and you'll see over and over again a consistent theme of believing God. They didn't all believe God for the same thing. They didn't all believe God in the same way, but they all believed God. You have, for example, the worshiping faith of Abel. Abel gave his best offering to the Lord. You have the walking faith of Enoch, who walked with God. You have the working faith of Noah, who worked and built an ark, even though it had never rained in his lifetime, because he trusted God. You have the waiting faith of the patriarchs, who received a promise from God but had to wait for the fulfillment of that promise over time. You had the warring faith of Moses and the winning faith of Joshua and Rahab. Here's what's consistent. They all had faith in God. And my brothers and sisters, the writer of the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 specifically, wants you and I to understand that we have witnesses around us who can testify that it pays to trust God. It pays to wait on God. He says, look at them and be inspired by those who have come before you, because watch this, same God back then, the same God right now. If he did it before, he can do it again. No secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do the same thing for you. You just have to learn how to trust God and have faith in God. Have faith in God. He says, look at that cloud of witnesses around you. How many of y'all remember career day when you was in school? You remember career day? Yeah, career day. They would bring people in front of you who had various careers. And there are people who can attribute them going into the career that they have found themselves in because they saw somebody, talked to somebody, heard from somebody on career day about a path that they had never been exposed to before. But when they were exposed and they talked to somebody who was doing it, they left that career day saying, because they did it, I can do it. He says, remember, you got a cloud of witnesses who are surrounding you, who are encouraging you. But you don't even have to get fancy with the cloud of witnesses. You don't have to go to the faith exhibited in Hebrews chapter 11. All you've got to do is look at the faith that's been exhibited in your life. All you got to do is look back at the faith of Big Mama and Big Daddy and Grandmama and Mud Deer, Mama and Daddy, who had a faith in God, who believed in you, the best in you, and have encouraged you to be the best you can possibly be. He says, remember those who have set an example before you. Here's the second thing. You must remove anything that's keeping you from making spiritual progress in your life. You must remove. Everybody say remove. You must remove anything that's keeping you from making spiritual progress in your life. Look at the B part. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. That phrase, lay aside, is one word in the original. Here's what it means. It means to cast off. It means to put off or lay apart. Here's what's interesting. It's in the aorist tense and the middle voice, which means what? It is not something that you can wait for somebody else to do for you, including God. It is something you must take responsibility for and do for yourself. There are some things that you have to wait on God to do because it takes God's power to get it done. But there are some things that you have to do for yourself. He says you've got to lay some things aside. You've got to remove, listen carefully, the self-imposed limitations on your life. Too many of you are not where you are and stuck where you are because the devil did it. It's because you haven't done what you need to do to turn yourself loose. Let me give you an example. Some of you have a hurt from your past, and it may not be your fault, but it's your problem now. And you've been holding on to that past hurt, and you blame people or a person or a situation or a circumstance for where you are when, listen carefully, it is not that person's fault if that's where you decide to stay. He says you have to take responsibility. So whether it's emotional, mental, physical, or spiritual, you got to let it go. Look at your neighbor and tell him, let it go. Just let it go. You don't have to know what it is. It's none of your business. Just tell him, let it go. Just encourage him. Let it go. Now you say, let go what? Look at A. Every weight. He says, let go every weight, every encumbrance, every burden, every hindrance, every restriction, anything that pulls you down or keeps you down. He says, you got to let it go. Anyone who holds you back and fails to encourage you to move forward, you got to let them go. In the language of rooted, we call it strongholds. You have to identify those things that are keeping you from being the best you can possibly be. Identify those people that are keeping you from being the best that you can be. And you have to let it go. You got to lay it aside. But here's the second thing. B, you got to lay aside not just the weight, but the sin. The sin. Now, what's interesting is, the word sin here is used with the definite article. So it's not a mistake that he says the sin and not sins, plural. Because what the writer is concerned about are not the individual sins that may plague you, but the sin that will keep you from fulfilling your potential in God. Somebody, you're asking right now, what is the sin that we need to lay aside? I'm glad you asked. The sin in chapter 12 is related to the witnesses that we see in chapter 11. The thing that every witness had in common was they believed God. They trusted God. They listened to God, they depended upon God, and they did what God told them to do. The sin that will keep you from fulfilling your potential in God is unbelief. The failure to believe God. The failure to believe that God didn't bring you this far to leave you. The failure to believe that God is not through with you yet. The failure to believe that God has a plan for your life. And here's the problem. We stop believing the promises of God when we change our focus and focus on the problems of men and women. When we focus on the problems of people, we stop trusting in the promises of God. He says, you got to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets you. The weight and the sin that ensnares you, ambushes you, encircles you, ties you up, ties you down. He says, you've got to lay it aside, because unbelief will keep you from running the race that God has set before you. Here's the third thing. I told you first, you've got to remember those who have set a positive example for you. Number two, you must remove anything that's keeping you from making spiritual progress in your life, the weight and the sin. Here's the third thing. Number three, you must run your race. Run your race. Now watch this. I don't want you to tell your neighbor anything. I want you to tell yourself, say, run my race. Watch what he says. C part, verse 1. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, here's what happened with these Christians that were being written to. They started fast and they faded soon. They started off strong, had great testimonies. They were running, jumping, shouting. They were super Christians. And then somewhere along the line, they started fading. I was having a conversation a couple of weeks ago with Gene Moore and Bishop Becker at the radio station, and we were talking about the early days of gospel hip hop. Those of you who have not been here so long, I had the reputation, I was called the hip hop pastor. And don't laugh. NWA stands for Negroes with Arthritis now. We all got old. But I would wear, this is when we started the 12 o'clock service, I would wear a robe at 8 o'clock. I would wear a suit, business casual at 10 o'clock. And I would wear jeans and Tim's and jerseys, you know, and the like at 12 o'clock, right? And we would have concerts and we were bringing in some of the gospel hip hop artists and rap artists, and we would host them here. And we were talking about what happened to all of those brothers and sisters. Where are they now? Because they seem to have faded off the scene. They were like a sparkler. They started off real bright, but they burned out quickly. A lot of people don't have what we would call stick-to-itiveness. He says, you've got to run with patience the race. Now, that word for run is in the subjunctive mood, the present tense, and the active voice, which means to run is a choice. You got to choose to run. But when you start running, you can't stop running. You got to keep on running. And don't miss the order, because watch this. You've got to lay aside before you can run. If you don't lay aside the weight and the sin of unbelief, you can't run the race that God wants you to run. You've got to learn how to run. Now, here's the problem. The problem for too many of us, maybe not you, but the person next to you, the problem is we are too concerned about how somebody else is running their race. And you can't hardly run your race worrying about somebody else and how they run their race. Y'all looking at me strange. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park right there for a minute. If you think being a parent of young children is hard, just wait till you have to become the parent of grown children. All of those who have grown children, y'all say amen. Help me out in here. Now, not all of your grown children, not all of your grown, God will give you one, maybe two, just to let you know you didn't do everything wrong. One or two. But it's amazing how the children you were smart enough to raise, now you're not smart enough to be the grandparent to their children. And they don't want you in their business because they know everything. And you don't live twice as long as they have, but they know everything. You give them advice from your mistakes and they determine they're going to make their own mistakes. My daughter said to me one time, she said, Daddy, you don't understand. You made your mistakes. I want to be able to make my own mistakes. And I'm like, baby girl, I don't have a problem with you making mistakes. I just need you to be creative and come up with some stupid stuff I never thought of. Like, don't make the same mistakes I made. And here's the problem, parents. You still trying to raise grown children. Let them run their race. And you stay in your lane and run your race. Because if you busy trying to watch them in their lane, you can't run the race that God wants you to run. He said, you got to run your race with patience, with endurance, with a determination to keep going even when you feel like giving up. You got to learn how to run your race. And my brothers and my sisters, I want to encourage somebody today to leave here determined. One of the best ways to get discouraged is by looking at somebody running their race in their lane and you can't do anything about it. You got to get to the place where you just say, you know what, baby, go on and run your race. I done told you, but you go on and run your, I'm going to stay right over here and run my race. I'm going to stay in my lane. Mama gonna stay over here. Daddy gonna stay over here. Papa gonna stay over here and run it. You determined to run that lane, that stupid lane. You go on and run that lane. Go on, run it. Go on, run it. See how it works out for you. Go on, run it. Run it. Run it. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:24. Remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Let's read it together. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. You got to run your race. You got to stay in your lane and stay out of other people's lane. Mind your business and stay out of their business. Amen. Somebody, that's your sermon right there. Mind your business. But I love my children. Stay out of their business and run your race. Here's the last thing. Number four, you must intentionally and continually stay focused on the Lord. You've got to intentionally and continually stay focused on the Lord. I want you to circle that word intentionally and circle that word continually. I told you nothing great happens by accident, and if you accidentally run into something great, it will not be maintained by accident. You have to be intentional. Look at what he says, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, looking unto Jesus, present tense, active voice. He says, look unto Jesus. Watch this. When we talk about looking unto Jesus, the writer says it's not a gaze, it's not a glance, it's a stare. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't just casually look. No, keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your gaze. Stay focused on him. I took a kind of different route into photography. I don't take a lot of pictures now, but I actually, my first use of an SLR camera, single lens reflex camera, with that lens was underwater. I was scuba diving and decided I wanted to take some underwater pictures. And I learned something about taking pictures underwater of fish, sharks, dolphins, and the like. Fish don't stop to pose. You know, like you don't get two or three shots with them. You know, say cheese, like they keep on swimming, right? And so I learned, because I didn't have an autofocus camera, I learned I had to anticipate where the fish was going. So I had to spot where the fish was going, pick a spot and focus on an object in the frame. And when the fish swam through it, I could get a clear shot of the fish. Then when I graduated and got an autofocus camera, one of the challenges of using an autofocus camera underwater is because of the movement in the water, sometimes the lens has a hard time focusing. So I had to be very careful as to what I focused on, because watch this, the fish may be in the frame, but the coral may be in focus and the fish was out of focus. So I had to make sure I focused on the right thing. Now, some of y'all think I'm talking about fish, but I'm really talking about Jesus. Because here's the problem. Even when we have Jesus in the frame, sometimes we're focusing on the wrong thing and Jesus gets out of focus. You've got to learn how to keep your lens on Jesus. You've got to learn how to keep your mind on Jesus. He says, looking unto Jesus. And that describes an attitude of faith. It's not what I see with my eyes, it's what I see with my faith. I got to keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I got to get ready to go now, but let me just tell you a couple more things and then I'm going to let you go. That word author and finisher of our faith, powerful phrase. Archegos is the word. And archegos, it really speaks to somebody who we would call a chief leader or the captain, the one who is in charge, he who is the strongest. That word was used to describe the strongest swimmer on a boat, because there were times when a boat would try to come into shore and the waters were too rough to come into the shore. And so what they would do is they would tie a rope around the person who was identified as the archegos, and that archegos would jump into the water with the rope tied around their waist and swim to shore. And when they got to shore, they would anchor the boat to something strong on the shore so that the people who could not get off until it was anchored would be able to minimally hold on to the rope to make their way to the shore. The people on the boat couldn't get there on their own. They needed somebody strong enough to connect them to the shore to get them there. The Bible says Jesus was our archegos. He was the one who was able to connect us with God so that now we can have a relationship with God for ourselves. He is the author and the finisher, the completer of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He says, look to Jesus. Because when you look to Jesus, he energizes you physically. When you look to Jesus, he encourages you emotionally. When you look to Jesus, he edifies you spiritually. I was so excited last week, Pastor Rose's sermon, because he reminded me last week what it means to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And somebody in here, you can't run your race because you're preoccupied with something or somebody else. He says, no, when you're running your race, if you're going to run your race well, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to make sure that you're focused on him. Jonathan Edwards was running his race, got to about the halfway point, falling behind, feeling a little winded. Didn't seem like he would finish strong. But Jonathan told me he heard a familiar voice. He heard the voice of his coach. I asked Jonathan, I said, man, what did your coach say? Because I'm thinking the coach said something like, run fast, get the lead out. Come on, man, let's get going. Jonathan said, his coach said two words. Form, focus. He said, in the midst of everybody cheering for their respective runners, he could hear the words of his coach. Form, focus. I said, Jonathan, what did that mean? He said, well, he said, that wasn't the first time I ever ran and got tired. That wasn't the first time that I began to lose my form. He said, times in practice we were pushed to the point of exhaustion. He said, and when we got to that place, our head would start wobbling. And we would stop running relaxed and we would strain in our running. Knees would be moving all over the place. And the coach would holler out, form, focus. In other words, get your form right. Start focusing on your form and start focusing on the race you're running. Don't focus on how tired you are. Don't focus on how other people are running around you. Focus on yourself and running the best race you can run. Jonathan said he heard the words of his coach, form, focus. He said, and then he realized what was wrong. He realized his head was wobbling. And he realized his arms were going all over the place. He realized he was struggling to run like he had trained to run. And so when he heard the words of his coach say, form, focus, he started straightening up. His head stopped wobbling. He moved his arms in close to him. He got his hands right. He had clenched his fists, straining, but he loosened up his hands and started moving his hands through the air. His legs started moving like pistons on a well-oiled engine. And he heard his coach say, form, focus. He said all of a sudden, when he was losing ground, he started making up ground. He got to the third turn and he started passing some of the people he fell behind. He got into the last turn and he was in third place, but he could still hear the words of his coach saying, form, focus. He said as he came into the final home stretch, he had two people in front of him. He said, but he noticed something about their running. Their heads started wobbling and their fists started getting clenched and they were straining, trying to hold him back. But he passed the third person. He passed the second person and got into first place, listening to his coach say, form and focus. Jonathan said he crossed the finish line in first place and won the state championship. Somebody under the sound of my voice needs to hear somebody in the stands saying, form and focus. Somebody, you got a mother over there. Somebody, you got a grandmother over there that's invested too much in you, and they're proud of who you are, and they're saying, don't quit now. You've come too far to turn around now. Have I got a witness in here? They're saying, form and focus. Why? Because the race doesn't go to the swift or to the strong, but to the one who endures to the end. Form, focus, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Form, focus, because when God is for you, anybody know he's more than the world against you? Form and focus, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Form, focus, because God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Form and focus, because he who has begun a great work in you, he will finish what he started. Yes, yes. Tell yourself when you get discouraged, when you feel like quitting, when you feel like throwing in a towel, tell yourself, form and focus. Have I got a witness here? God will bring you through. God will bring you out. God will make a way. Yes, 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 yes. Anybody know he will? Come on, can you stand on your feet if you know he will? Have I got any witnesses in here? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he do it? Yes, yes. Father, we bless you. We thank you. Oh God, I can't speak for anybody else this week Oh, God. The devil has been busy trying to discourage, dissuade, depress, trying to get us to stop trusting you, stop leaning and depending on you. Ah, but we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for your keeping power. Yeah, we thank you, Lord, for your way-making power, for keeping us in our right mind. Help somebody today, Lord, to leave here encouraged, to keep their eyes on you, lay aside the weights, run their race, and trust you to do what only you can do. You haven't brought us this far to leave us. We ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen.